Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 58. If you know how to count by the calendar, you may notice something funky. Otherwise, I don't care. Joining me this week is Glacinator.
Hello, everyone.
Also joining me this week from Calgary is Pat.
What is going on, people? Episode 58. I'm not even going to go there.
That's because he knows I'm tired and I'm going to crawl through this computer and choke him. In all seriousness, folks, we had another recording issue last week. We made it a whole 7 shows before it screwed us again. We're hoping that you'll be able to hear this, me explaining to you what happened last week. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's got a voodoo all its own. We're not trying to redo the show like we did with episode 50 because the material for last week wasn't as good as episode 50's was, but we're going to find out what's going to happen. Patrick, why don't you tell us what you've been playing this week?
Okay, not a heck of a lot, really. Had to cough. Not a heck of a lot. I did get, yesterday, I picked up the Nintendo 3DS. I've been talking about it back and forward through messages, through the podcast. You know, when am I going to pick this up? I've been excited about it, but just haven't been really the software that I wanted. But after going to Best Buy, Future Shop, seeing these things here, I decided, what the hell, let's buy it. So I bought the 3DS just yesterday. And unfortunately, even today, I haven't had a heck of a lot of time. Been busy doing stuff. Haven't played a lot of it. I picked up 2 titles, which I've hardly touched, which in a way is good because then I'll be able to talk about them in the upcoming weeks. I got Pilot Wings Resort, or whatever the heck it's called, and Super Street Fighter 4 3D, whatever else they have at the end of it. Capcom loves to add names to their Street Fighter games. Both games I've hardly played. I only played kind of the training mode on Pilot Wings. Pretty cool. The 3D effects are great in that. Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Even though Glacinator did warn me that it's pretty short, I decided, what the heck, I'll trade it in or trade it with somebody in the future. Super Street Fighter 4, blah, 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 3D. Pretty cool. I only did a couple. Visuals are great. It looks really good. Interesting thing about it with the touch screen, I haven't played it too much, but with the touch screen, you can pull off some of the harder combos once your meter is built up with the touch of a button, which for me is quite good because I'm more of an old school original Street Fighter 2 guy on the Super Nintendo, or maybe Street Fighter 2 Turbo on the Super Nintendo. So I didn't bother learning all these fancy-wancy new combos. They look great. Don't get me wrong, are you shooting 40 fireballs or fireballs that turn into dragons or whatever happens? Pretty neat, but I never bothered to learn the extra stuff. Like I said, I just pretty much stuck to the basic moves from Street Fighter 2. So now I don't even have to learn the moves. Once your meter builds up with a touch of the bottom on the touch screen, as long as you don't spend too much time away from looking at the top screen, you can pull off some of those cool moves. So I like that. The game looks really good, but both Pilot Wings and Super Street Fighter 4, blah, blah, blah. I'll talk more about them in the future because I've hardly touched them. It's not worth initial impressions, at least, or that they're pretty cool. Aside from that, I've been playing with that flying head game. I've been shooting myself in the face. Quite funny. And all I've really done is played around with the augmented reality AR cards, whatever they're called there. Pretty neat. The first time I did it, I just put the main card down on my kitchen table there. Suddenly my kitchen table opened up and a monster came out of it that I had to shoot. I had to go around shooting it, and there's like a game where you're doing archery and stuff. Kind of neat. Takes a little bit of getting used to because you can move the 3DS around, the 3D camera, and it actually changes your point of view. So at one point there was one target in the archery game. I didn't know where the hell it was. But I had to actually move up and almost be up on top of it to see it straight down in the middle of my table, kind of. It's pretty neat, pretty cool. The camera works well. You can take 3D pictures of pretty much anything you want. Kind of a neat little gimmick. You can also use the AR cards to play around with different characters. There's Mario, Samus, Link, those Pikmin guys that I've never really been very fond of. But I've been taking all sorts of silly pictures. The 3DS comes with a 2 GB memory card, which is a nice little addition. It gives you the memory card right away. So I've been able to transfer some of my 3DS pictures onto my hard drive on my PC. I did a little post there on wonderpodonline.com. I'm just screwing around with them. I've got some of the characters trying to three red light my Xbox. I got my own little me from the Nintendo Wii lying on my screen on top of WonderPod Online in a provocative manner. So I just played around, kind of neat. It does, you look at the screenshots, look at people on the internet who've done it. It's cool, but it doesn't do it justice. Obviously, the picture quality is better on the 3DS, and most importantly, it's three-dimensional. Some of those pictures I took of my favorite Mario or my favorite Nintendo stars sitting on my Xbox console with the 3DS, I mean, it's really 3D. Mario's sticking out, and Samus's gun, the laser's coming out, is sticking out of the screen. Pretty neat stuff. Overall, I'm glad I got it. I didn't need to get it, honestly. I don't think there's that game yet. I'm waiting for probably Mario Kart 3DS to be that big game for me. I'd say that's that or Kid Icarus, something like that. Yeah, everybody says Zelda is going to be awesome. You know, I know it's going to be awesome, but I don't know if I can invest the amount of time playing it. That's a game that I spent a lot of time, and the 3DS is more for shorter bursts for me, but I understand the potential for it. So that's pretty much all I'll say about the 3DS this week. I'm early in. I'm enjoying it, having fun with my augmented reality cards, posting pictures of Mario and company on the internet. Another interesting thing I'll talk quickly about, we talk about the Mii Plaza, similar to the Wii's Mii Plaza. You can create your own Mii now automatically pretty much by taking a photograph of your face, and then it analyzes your face, and then it creates your own little Mii. So being lazy, that's what I did. So my Mii is a little different on my 3DS than it is on my Wii. Yeah, that's about it. I enjoy it. I think it's cool. I recommend it for people who just want to try out the 3D stuff. The games themselves aren't really there, but what new hardware has great games? You know, the same thing's happening with Kinect. Same thing has happened with the original DS. So definitely having fun with it. That is pretty much all I've been playing this week.
Okay, and now for the Nintendo 3DS Part 2, we turn to Glacinator.
All right, well, I'm sure all of you guys know that I was pretty excited for this thing. I picked it up on launch day at midnight, and I've had it for a good 2 weeks now, so I think I can fairly say that I like it. I'll try not to repeat anything that Pat said, but he pretty much covered all the main points. To be blunt, the 3D works. It works well. The only problem is that you have to be within like a 4-degree angle. There's a 4-degree sight that you can look at the 3DS, and if you move out of that angle, then everything will become blurry. So you do have to be fairly focused on the game to get the 3D effect to work. But when it does work, it works well. Your depth perception goes to the rear of the game system, and you can feel stuff popping out at you and going back in. I got Pilot Wings with the 3DS. I feel that I spent too much on it. It feels more like a polished demo than a game. There really isn't that much to do once you do the main missions other than just fly around, and that's only entertaining for so long. Maybe if there had been more locales or maps to fly on, it would have been fun. It's just a little too simple for a full-price game. So if you get a 3DS, you'll most likely be playing with the hardware itself rather than the software. The launch titles do disappoint, but the hardware on the system itself is a lot of fun, and you'll be messing around with it for a long time. Face Raider is a game that Pat talked about where you walk around and shoot faces of yourself is a lot of fun. It's a great way to show off the system to your friends, and it's really funny to see their initial reactions when the system actually warps your face into a moving image and makes your mouth move and everything. Also, the AR cards are a lot of fun, too. It really does showcase what the 3DS can do. it's amazing the technology that you have in your hand where you can actually rotate 3D models of something around your hand to make it interact with things, and that it can make depressions into your table and you can look down holes, and it's really exciting to think of the possibilities that can happen with it. Other than that, you have the meme maker, the cameras on the front and the back can take pictures of your friends and yourself and you can make them into Miis. You have the Mii Plaza, like Pat said, which is a lot of fun. You can turn on Street Pass, and you can, if you happen to walk by someone that has their 3DS on too, then you'll exchange information and their Mii will appear on your 3DS and you can hang out together, which has only happened to me 3 times, but 3 times is 3 times more than it happened on the original DS. So it's nice to see some better connectivity than the first system. So really besides that, that's about it. Oh, there's also a music player, which is fun to mess around with songs on. You can change the pitch and speed of songs and mess with the vocals, which is a lot of fun to do. But besides that, that's pretty much it. I would suggest that if you're interested in it, but you don't want to, you're just not sure yet, I suggest waiting for a better title to come out, because right now there's not anything really that is good software-wise. There's no software to match the hardware, in other words. But if you're really interested in it, you really want to see 3D, go ahead and get it. You might get tired of some stuff after a while, but I'm still playing with it, and I don't have any good games to go with it. So I suggest a buy. That's it.
Guess what, people? If you're tired of the 3DS, that's good, because I am not going to talk about that, but I have not been playing shit this week. Between fighting with computers and this being one of the busiest times of the year for me at work, I have played Minecraft. And I actually was able to turn on my Xbox 360 last night without being disturbed beyond all repair and grab a couple rounds of Homefront post-update. Had a little trouble at first, but it is much less of a pain in the ass than it was the previous episode. So Homefront's starting to remind me of Left 4 Dead. We just hop on, we play. If it screws up, we're not too worried about it, and we hop off and go do something else or whatever, which, you know, that's really all it needs to do. We get a few rounds here and there until the next big shooter comes out. I'm good with that. And really, that's all I have been playing. So there you go. It's basically 3DS and 3DS. And maybe 3DS. And I will say this, folks. If you want to see, now Patrick, having seen the real thing, you know, is going to tell you that the quality's not as good. But I have to say, as somebody who fools around with photography a little bit and who has seen just enough 3D objects, both in video game engines and in, you know, movies and things, I was impressed with how these screenshots of these AR cards and the 3D showed up at all. So I really recommend you go, if you want to see what it looks like, go to our website, you know, WonderPod Online, and look at the screenshots Pat took, because while they're never going to be as impressive as the actual, you know, live 3D, I was really shocked at how good they did turn out. So it's worth going to look. I mean, even Samus's laser looks a little bit funky. But past that, I mean, everything looks really great. I mean, it looks like his little Mario, it looks like his little Nintendo carrier characters are sodomizing his Xbox 360, which is rather comical if you're a sick, twisted bastard like me. And that is what we've been playing. It's funny because the next two things we're going to do, well, excuse me, the debate topic and then the first news story are lawsuit-based, but they're not talking about lawsuits. See how sneaky and tricky I'm getting, ladies and gentlemen? This debate topic is really kind of funny because there are a metric ton of lawsuit stories out right now between Sony chasing every hacker known to man and Activision battling with their former employees and maybe still current employees. You just can't go to a gaming website or a gaming news website without running into it. And we have obviously tried to cut back on doing these, but it got me to thinking, how much attention should we pay to them? Because, or in other words, do they at the end of the day affect us as consumers and as gamers? So Patrick, basically what I want to know from you, I don't want to know how stupid they are or how little we like doing the lawsuit stories. Bottom line, my question is do you think any of these lawsuits that are running around affect us at some point or another as gamers?
Well, it depends on the lawsuits. They'll affect us to some degree, obviously. Some of the big ones we've talked about last year, I mean, different developers are now making games that we liked, and so stuff like that will definitely affect us in some ways, but the big picture, no. I mean, they'll still be Call of Duty games, whether or not it's the same quality, whether or not it's the same people because of the lawsuit, not quite sure, you know? So I think we really have to look at it. There's two ways of looking at these lawsuit things. Last week we talked a lot about wrestling, and I know this sounds a bit weird, but if there's two types of wrestling fans, right? There's the type of wrestling fan who just watches wrestling because they love wrestling. They don't give a crap about any of the politics backstage. They don't care who's going to what federation, who's stuck in what contract, who's suing who. And then there's the other type of fans who like both of those things. So I guess it depends. And the same thing can be said for gamers. There's gamers who just want to play video games. I Pinch would definitely be one of the guys who I talk to about the podcast who just wants to play video games. He doesn't give a damn about the lawsuits. We, on the other hand, seem to like to do both. So, I don't know. Personally, I don't think it affects us that much. There's always going to be some effect because of these lawsuits, but I just want to play games.
Okay. He also dropped the dime on who's been bitching about it. Thank you. I knew sooner or later I'd get at least one name. And I kind of are. It's cursing and lawsuit stories with him. I really want to meet this guy, like, face to face. I really do. Don't get me wrong, I Pinch. I love you to death, dude. You're a lot of fun to play games with. Glacinator, do you think, as the younger of us, I don't know what the fuck's that got to do with anything? I apologize. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm really tired, so this show's probably going to be hilarious, mostly because I'm a dork. Glacinator, bottom line, do you think any of these lawsuits affect us as gamers, consumers, whatever you want to call us?
Yes, I'd say they do. And directly, though, I mean, if you have a change of hands in a company due to a lawsuit or due to a miscommunication, that will in turn affect what you play, what the finished product is that you play. A lot of gamers may not care about what goes on behind the scenes, but it's important. I know I'm not like a lot of gamers my age, but I find this relatively important. I mean, If a lawsuit happens and it affects what the finished product is, then yeah, I'm interested in it. But I think that a lot of people my age don't really care. I had one of my friends the other day actually ask me like what we talk about when I go on this podcast, and I was like, oh, we talk about, you know, news and stuff, and if there's any lawsuits or anything. He's like, lawsuits? That sounds boring. So I do think there are a lot of people out there that just want to play games, but there are people out there that are relatively interested in this side of the industry and what goes on behind the games.
You know, it's funny because working in the industries I work in, you have to pay attention to lawsuits because eventually most of them do affect your day-to-day business. And so I think part of my fascination with them in year one was carried over from the real job or real work or whatever the hell you want to call it, non-internet stuff I do. And even I, at the end of the year, was sick of them to a point. But I'm 10 years ago, let me put it this way. 10 years ago, I probably would have called iPinch not that smart because you really, you know, these things can affect you. But that was 10 years ago. Now I completely understand why guys like him and guys like Patrick, to a certain extent, don't want to pay any attention to this at all. They just want to play games. That makes complete sense to me now, these days, but I, for whatever reason, am just not wired that way. I think to a decent extent, that these lawsuits will affect you, and that I think it's incumbent on gamers as consumers to kind of be at least aware of what is going on and aware of what is happening in the industry. That doesn't mean you have to devote your life to it, And again, I have no issue with people who just want to play the games, damn it. You know, don't get me wrong. But I just, after all this talk and after we had a meeting or a talk earlier in the, before we started year two of WonderPod about, hey, let's kind of tone down these lawsuit stories. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. You know, I just was curious whether the three of us and whether other people thought they did have any effect. Cause I think they do to a certain extent. And I mean, I really gotta say, I wish I could be one of those people that could just, I just want to play games. Damn it. That's all I want to do. But you know, for a multitude of reasons, I'm not. I thought this was an interesting debate topic, especially since I didn't have anything else. So there you have it. So I guess I can tell you that we're going to try to do less of them. But when I feel that they are important for the listening audience as a whole to know about, you know, we will still be covering them. Sorry, Chris. I love you, man. Okay, that's been our debate topic. Let's move on to Survivor Man G. Now, as we kind of alluded to and Patrick said he wasn't going to touch earlier, we kind of had a problem last week, so we never got a show recorded. Well, if you were around the website last week, it was wrestling everything. And so, because I know Survivor Man G is a huge wrestling fan, I kept around his transmission from last week for this week, which is wrestling based. So take it away, Survivor Man G.
WonderPod security interface detection online. External message probe detected.
System analysis
detects sender. Data analyzed.
Prepare for audio playback.
What's up, WonderPod crew? Survivor Man G here for another installment of Wonder Ponderings and Wonderstalgia. I remain on the trail. No, not the Oregon Trail, but maybe one of these days we'll talk about that game in a Wonderstalgia episode. I don't have too much to report in regards to trying to find more information in relation to seafaring vessels, but something fell out of the sky last night. As bizarre as it sounds, there is no way that was an asteroid. Back in the day, before I went up into space for my own asteroid analysis mission, I didn't believe in aliens. But that sure changed in a hurry as that multi-armed creature decimated all of the crew save myself. It landed somewhere between me and the escape WonderPod, and asteroids burn up in the atmosphere, right? And that thing sure didn't look like the Dudley Boys' entrance pyro, that's for sure. Oh fuck. It's that time of year by now, isn't it? I just realized that it's WrestleMania weekend. Sucks to be me, as I'll be missing the event. But it did remind me of a fun game I used to play for Wonderstalgia to talk about, so let's go with that. The WWF WrestleFest was a 1991 cabinet title created by Technos. There were a number of game types, including the new Royal Rumble mode, as well as the traditional tag team storyline. It also featured a slew of characters from Hulk Hogan and Mr. Perfect, Jake the Snake Roberts, and the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. The only NPCs were the World Tag Team Title Champions, the Legion of Doom. There may have been many other wrestling games in arcades on consoles, but this is one that was certainly my favorite game to ever grace the arcades. I was wondering what the WonderPod crew thought about this epic title. If you haven't played it yet, do you have any other favorite wrestling game from any era on any platform you do enjoy? Considering I'm around 2 weeks from the crash site, I'm at the point where it seems wise to check in and maybe find out some more information about whatever we saw last night falling from the sky. I'll likely be on the trail still next week, so until then, happy WrestleMania weekend to all the smarks out there. Survivor Man G, signing off.
Radio signal complete.
Survivor Man G, good to hear from you again. I know you're bummed out that you missed WrestleMania weekend, but, you know, you're in parts unknown. What can you do? There's many wrestlers from parts unknown as well, so maybe that'll make you feel better. We had a great week last week anyways with tons of wrestling content on WonderPodOnline.com. I'm sure somehow with your computers and your robots you'll be able to access it. Your question for this week had a lot to do with wrestling, and you talked about our favorite wrestling games. For me, it really came down to just a couple. The NWO versus WCW on the N64, any of those ones I liked. I liked a lot, but then again, as I was saying, the entire era of the N64 was just a great time for me. Probably my favorite time in gaming. Maybe that had something to do with it. There's a newer game out that I thought was okay. I played the demo, WWE All-Stars. That definitely has potential. It's a little too cartoony. They look like He-Man action figures to me, but it seems okay. Nothing, in my opinion, can hold a candle to, and I put this up on the website actually a while ago, last week, nothing can hold a candle as far as wrestling video games as to NES Pro Wrestling. That's right, way back on the Nintendo Entertainment System. What a fun game. I loved it then. I loved it now. I saw a video on it. I put it up on the site there with my two favorite characters, the Amazon, who kind of looks a little bit like Blanka from Street Fighter, and Starman. Starman was my absolute favorite. I don't know why. The dude wore all pink, and he had a big star mask on his face, but that didn't deter me. I still like playing as him. I don't know why I liked it so much. Maybe it was just being a little kid. I used to play it with my brother. He used to always use Amazon guy and that damn biting move. I hated that move. It was like cheating. The referee was right there. The referee didn't see it. Blind as a Stampede Wrestling referee, to be honest. My absolute favorite wrestling game had to be way back NES Pro Wrestling.
Hi, Senator. Are you sitting over there going, what's wrestling?
Yeah, pretty much. Please don't come kill me, G. I'm sorry. I've never really played an official wrestling game, per se. The closest thing I've gotten to a wrestling game is in Zelda, in Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. Before you enter the Fire Temple, you do this little mini game with the Goron leader, where you have to sumo wrestle him to enter the Fire Temple. You have to like throw him out of the ring. But besides that, I haven't really played any wrestling game.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, little behind the curtain magic, to use a wrestling term. He talked about this last week, and I said something that made him feel like I had no freaking clue what he was talking about. So he sent me a picture of it, and then I watched a playthrough of this Fire Temple Wrestling of Doom thing. It counts. It counts. It's quite funny, and if I've played that Zelda, I don't remember that, but it is quite hilarious, and it's definitely wrestling. You gotta chuck the guy outside the circle, sumo style, to get to go to the Fire Temple, as he just said. So, there you go. Last week, I kind of was in the dark. No, I'm not. yeah, and I also wanted to, might as well put it on the recording so that, yeah, cause it's like, you know, I went and found a playthrough video. Actually, there's a ton of them.
Yeah.
That must be, is that a little bit difficult to beat that wrestling section? Cause I noticed the more playthrough
videos. You gotta swing the remote and smash buttons and stuff. It's pretty intense.
Yeah. It seems like the more playthrough videos you see, the more difficult it is. And so when people figure it out, they like throw their playthrough video on there because they're like, I've got knowledge to share. Yeah, you and like 30 other people. I go by how good is the video and is the audio making my ears hurt, basically. As for me, Survivor Man, I did play WrestleFest, the one you mentioned. I don't recall playing it a lot. That was back during the, you know, Saturday Night Main Event, and I think I think they had a Saturday Day Show or a Friday, I don't remember, but I was watching professional wrestling, at least the stuff that was coming on TV with the early WWF. And so seeing that on, you know, in an arcade format was really fun. I just don't recall playing it a lot, but I know how I have played it. As for my personal favorite, I do recall playing Starman and the Blanka guy that was, in my mind, modeled after a cross between Blanka and George the Animal Steel. But I have to give my favorite to WWF No Mercy. I don't know what it is about that in particular N64 title. I know there was several others from Aki that were similar, but the one I've always just felt the most comfortable with, in fact, I talked about last week on the site that you could do, you know, some of the pay-per-view simulations using No Mercy. I just always have loved it. I mean, it was a great game. We used to play it a lot in college, just sitting around, you know, like do King of the Ring tournaments and, you know, everybody take a turn. And if your wrestler's up, you wrestle somebody else, or sometimes you're wrestling the computer, you know, and it holds a lot of, neat memories for me. I mean, there's been a ton of good wrestling games, much like Patrick was talking about. I've been tempted to go buy WWE All-Stars, the latest one from THQ. I'm kind of like Patrick, and they look a lot like Stretch Armstrong, He-Man. It just, I don't know. If you've seen screenshots of Shawn Michaels' abs that are sticking out 4 foot past his pecs, I don't know. It's throwing me a little bit. Did you play, hey Patrick, speaking of that, I know we didn't pick it up last week, but did you play the demo anymore after your initial playthrough, or did you just kind of go, no?
I played through twice. I played once as the Ultimate Warrior, and once as Rey Mysterio Jr. or Rey Mysterio or whatever he goes by now. So yeah, I just played it twice, but that was enough to have my impressions. I liked it. It was fun. I wish the demo had maybe more characters or something. I understand why it doesn't, because it's just to tease you, but yeah, it's not bad. Probably the most fun I've had playing a recent wrestling game, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to have the cash before the end of the month to specifically give $60 for a game like that, but I think I'm probably going to pick it up here in the next couple months. We hit a little lull. It looks like it's probably the most fun of the more recent ones I've seen.
For single player, right? Because I have three letters for you if you want to play online. THQ.
Yeah, you know the funny thing is, and I know our time in Homefront has not been stellar. The last Raw versus SmackDown I got, I actually braved the online portion of that, even though I suck horribly at fighting and wrestling games online. It was pretty decent.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, you're right. I mean, there is that to consider. I don't normally buy wrestling games to play them online, though. I suck so badly. Yeah. It's like, go on there a couple times to get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
You know, but why do you want to continually do that to yourself? And if you're improving, okay, but I'd never, like, the last Street Fighter I owned, it's like, okay, I've got my ass kicked six nights in a row. Why am I doing this again? I'm not getting any better. You know, I'm just one of those people that's not that great at fighting games. You give me a Horyu fighting stick, you know, that a couple $100 Japanese fighting stick, I'm still gonna suck. It just doesn't matter. I just am not built for fighting games. And wrestling games are kind of similar too. Although I did pretty good with No Mercy. Anyway, there you go, Survivor Man G. Sorry it's a week late, but it's a nice end, so to speak, to the WrestleFest. Hope you're doing well in parts unknown. Okay, let's move on to news. Now, this is the second lawsuit-based story, but it's also our first news story. Follow me, people. Follow me. I say lawsuit-based because I have no intention of bringing up this lawsuit, because first off, it's the West and Zampella versus Activision lawsuit. We've talked plenty about that. Also in this story is Michael Patchert, who I thought was just a business analyst, but according to the story, he also has two law degrees, which scares the shit out of me. And he's licensed to practice here in California, my home state. Yeah, I don't think I'll be calling him for legal advice. No, that's not really, I don't want to get into any of that. The guts of this story, which I picked up at industrygamers.com, is basically that West and Zampella have tacked on stuff to their lawsuit in the hopes of getting the rights to the Call of Duty franchise returned to them. Now, Patrick says there's no way in hell they're going to do this. Personally, I think it's just West and Zampella going up yours, Activision, and trying to make their life more miserable as Activision tries to do the same. That's not my point. My point to these two guys, and Patrick will go with you first, aren't they better off starting with a new IP? Isn't this just more of an up yours, and isn't it kind of stupid to even try and get the COD franchise? I mean, I just think they'd be better off with a new IP. This just seems silly to me.
Oh, it's more silliness. They've been going back and forward with little things. It's the whole point of their name. Aren't they coming up with a company called Respawn Entertainment? You know,
they're a legal company. They've done all the filings here in California. So yeah, they are a company.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think they should just start their own thing, if anything. I mean, doesn't matter which side you're on. Both sides are being greedy. Let's face it. maybe they'll be able to get some sort of royalties out of it as a very, you know, as some sort of last ditch effect, but they're not going to get ownership. They're not going to be making Modern Warfare from Respawn, and then and then 6 months later, a year later, there'll be Modern Warfare from Activision. It's not going to happen. I think they're just being little bitches on both sides at this point, just doing whatever they can to piss each other off.
Right, but that's my point is, though, isn't that a damn good thing, even if they're just being little bitches? Because Modern War, I mean, the Call of Duty franchise, come on, folks, it's getting a little tired. Isn't it just, you know, isn't it better that they go do something new, impress us all over again? They've done it twice. They were the part of the minds that came up with Medal of Honor. They're part of the minds that came up with COD. You know, it just seems like to me that they should just go something new. Because, mostly because COD is kind of on its last legs as far as I'm concerned. Doesn't that seem that way?
Well, it seems they definitely probably should, and they're probably just looking for the slight chance that they'll get royalties out of it, you know? I guess they're at the point now, why not? You know, it might be on its last legs, Call of Duty is, I'd say all three of us are concerned, but as far as sales are concerned, Black Ops is outsold Modern Warfare 2, for God's sake. It's scary. So if you look at that and they say, holy cow, maybe we can get some royalties out of it. That's the only thing I can get out of here.
Clay Snyder, I now turn to you. All my rambling there. Wouldn't it just be better if these guys went and got a new IP and kicked COD's ass that way?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're being this thing to death, basically. I mean, I understand that if Modern Warfare COD part, I mean, I can't even talk. I understand that this is sort of their baby, you know, and it got taken away from them. But they're just dragging this out. I do agree with you, Bruce, that they should just be happy with their new company and start again. I understand that they're pissed. I understand that they want some money out of it. But really, still, I don't know. They're like little whiny kids, pretty much.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I tried steering it away from the actual lawsuit, and I just didn't do a good enough job. My point here is this is just, you know, once you dig past the pettiness and the cash grab and this and that, COD is an old enough franchise that this doesn't make sense from a business standpoint to me. And I hope, my hope is, West and Zampella don't think that they can get a hold of COD, which Patrick says they cannot, and revive it and bring it back better than before because they were the original guys working on it. That's what I'm afraid of. They've got it in their heads that not only are we going to dig at Activision and try and get money and royalties, but hey, if we get COD back, we can do it better than Infinity Ward has, than Sledgehammer Games, who's supposedly working on it. And I think that is a humongous mistake if that's their line of thinking. I think they just need to build a new IP. I mean, come on. These guys are great at pulling the Phoenix out of their ass. Not out of the fire, out of their ass. I mean, they did it with 2015 in Medal of Honor. They've done it, you know, they went from 2015 in the Medal of Honor franchise, which was huge when these guys bolted, to COD, made that huge, and then they didn't bolt this the second time. They got canned. And so, you know, if they're thinking that they can take COD and return it to its former glory, I just don't buy it. I really don't. You guys are much better off getting a new IP and run with it. You know, Patrick's right. I mean, they're just being whiny little kids.
I mean, I understand.
This. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, Bruce. I don't like Call of Duty. I'd rather they start a new IP. But the COD franchise has such a humongous weight to that name, you know? I mean, everyone knows about Call of Duty. I mean, even gamers don't know who gamers know about Call of Duty. There's just so much money to be made from that franchise that you can't help but understand that they would be pissed, you know?
Well, I understand that, but it's just, I just think, yeah, it's making huge money now, but how many more does it realistically have in it doing that before it starts to slide downhill? Let's bring back in Patrick on that. Patrick, now that you've heard me ramble on about it and understand maybe a little better what I'm saying, do you get my point? I mean, I understand that COD is just making an ass ton of money right now, but realistically, how many more does it got left before it starts sliding off like Medal of Honor did, like Quake did, like all of them have done, all these bigger franchises have done?
Oh, eventually they're going to hit the top, and when they're at the top, the only place to go is down. But like I said, I don't think they really have any interest on actually owning the modern warfare franchise. I think they want to piss them off and quite possibly take some money from future ones. I mean, even if there's only one or two Call of Duties that make a ton of money, if they can get their hands on some of it, a small percentage of it, through some sort of legal action, why wouldn't they take it?
Yeah, and I hope you're right, because I'm a little leery, thus why I brought up the story, that they think they can do something better with it than, you know, than Activision's monkey shop with 16 different developers. Yes, that's right, I just called it a monkey shop, get over it. You know, and so I hope you're right. I hope this is just, for once, that this is just the penny, whiny, hey, we're gonna see if we can dig a little more money out of you, you know, because my gut tells me right now that COD is at its climax. Black Ops was decent. The multiplayer sucked. I'm sorry. It sucked to me. But I think the absolute sign of whether this franchise is going to continue to be milkable and a cash cow will be Modern Warfare 3. And there's plenty of news that I'm not going to cover until it's an official announcement, that there will be a COD Modern Warfare 3 come the holidays. Personally, I have no intention of buying it. I don't see where the story's going to go. I really don't, without it being just a fuck fest. So I think it'll be interesting to see what that one does. You know, that may give us more of an idea. But bottom line is, I just hope West and Zampella are just trying to give Activision a nice up yours, not seriously thinking about doing anything with the COD franchise. Go make a new game, guys. Go make something better. Fuck COD. Okay, in our next story, and a happy story. If you didn't like that story and you didn't like the debate topic, you're probably going to be kind of bored in this, but at least we're not calling people dirty names. It comes to us from computerandvideogames.com, and I actually like this because I like to give the audience, you know, this news that says, hey, look, the big corporations are trying to be a little nicer. The headline is, Microsoft offers significantly cheaper improved Xbox dev kit. Microsoft has released a new Xbox development kit that's significantly cheaper than the previous model, while offering a number of hardware improvements. I could go on through here, and most of you guys, unless you're developers, wouldn't get most of this stuff. Basically, they're just making it easier and easier for developers to use these kits, to get going with it. They need less of them overall. And of course, this ties right in with their disk format beta that's going on at the moment. I want to give them a definite round of applause, and that's really all I got to say with that. But I am going to add a cynical element to it because I am me. Patrick, you want to just give them a round of applause, or do you want to pull the, well, yeah, sure, it's easy now, as late as this, as we are in the console life cycle?
Oh, it's good news for the developers. I mean, but it's also makes sense that, you know, from a business point of view, they're making it more accessible and easier for people to make games for their product. So, whatever. I'm glad they're doing it for the developers, I guess.
Well, yeah, but I mean, did you catch my little sarcastic bit in there? I mean, it kind of, the first thing that struck me was, well, yeah, I mean, we're so far into the console life cycle, you might as well lower the price now.
Oh, yeah. It's costing them less to make them too, so, yeah.
Let me ask you, well, hold on. Glacinator, do you want to just give him a nice golf clap, or do you want to go, well, yeah, it's about time? Your choice.
Oh, well, I was going to say the thing that popped out at me most in this story was the last sentence, which says, the redesigned Xbox development kit is also an indicator of our continued investment in the platform. It is one piece of our ongoing program to support Xbox 360 for years to come. And that just pops out at me as just saying that, you know, this 360 is nowhere near close to its life cycle, so we still have a ways to go.
And Glacinator gets the internet cookie for this week. I expected Patrick to catch that. I kind of wondered, yeah, see, that. Okay, now we'll kick it back to Patrick. Patrick, does this make you think that the 360 especially combined with Kinect, is going to be around a lot longer, given that last sentence there?
Oh, possibly.
Or is this just corporate doublespeak? I mean, he's getting the internet cookie either way, but whatever.
I don't know. Sure.
Okay.
Just real quick before we close out this story to give it a little bit more legs, this is probably going to help the little indie guys too a little more too, isn't it? Don't you think? Some of the smaller studios. That was the other thing that popped into my head with it.
Yep.
One of you. I don't care.
Yeah, definitely. As I said earlier, it's going to help out more developers. It'll help out the ones on lower budgets, and you know, it's a good business move. More people making games for their system.
Gleason, whatever you got, and then we're done.
Agree. Period.
Agree. And you win the brand new car. What was the one where you had to? What was the game show? It was you just said agree or disagree. Was that one? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That's what popped into my head there. As you can tell,
Hollywood Stars or something. Wasn't that you agree or disagree? Something.
What the hell was that?
Was it Hollywood Squares or whatever the hell?
Old show.
Well, they tried to repeat it.
I was just going to say, you're really making us old over here, Patrick. He's just going, I saw that at Nick at Night. Or what? No, what is it? Don't they have a whole, isn't there like a whole game show channel now?
I think so. And there's deja vu channels from the olden days and all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, when you and I were fucking teenagers. You know, I don't have a problem with getting older. It's the fact that I'm being reminded of it more. But starting to get on my nerves. I remember this show. It was from the 90s, you know, back then when we were with wagons and horses. Oh, fuck. Okay, next story is kind of a little bit, it's probably going to be straight off the rails like that, because we've talked about this a bunch of times, but it was kind of nice to see somebody from the industry say it. Comes to us from Eurogamer.net. Pitchford's attacks Dead Space multiplayer, which he really kind of didn't, but hey, you got to have the provocative headline. Basically, Randy Pitchford of Gearbox Software, the guy that delayed Duke Nukem, if you want to get angry. I'm blaming it completely on him. Or blame it on Cliffy, who had nothing to do with Duke Nukem. Wait a minute. Sorry, wrong studio. Anyways, he just basically was talking about how what we've been talking about, that why all of a sudden do all these games that don't need multiplayer have multiplayer? And he specifically pointed out Dead Space 2. He said his quote here is, it's ceiling limited. It'll never do 20 units. The best imaginable is a peak of 4 or 5 million units if everything works perfectly in your favor. So the bean counters go, how do I get a higher ceiling? And they look at games that have multiplayer, yada, yada, yada. Okay, Patrick, you know this has been one of my Don Quixote windmills, that I hate things that have multiplayer that don't deserve it. Are you encouraged by at least one industry guy saying, hey, I agree with most gamers? Or are we still going to get stuck with multiplayer and shit that doesn't need multiplayer?
We're still going to get stuck with multiplayer in games that don't need multiplayer. He can say that, and then his game has multiplayer in it, right? So, and the Duke Nukem has multiplayer in it.
Oh, wait, hold on. Time out. I'm sorry for cutting you off, but did the previous Dukes have multiplayer? That was the other angle I was going to bring up here.
Well, 3D did. Duke Nukem 3D did. I'm not sure. Obviously, the N64 one probably didn't, obviously. But way back on PC, and it even does on Xbox Live Arcade right now, Duke Nukem 3D. It's terrible.
So is he or is he not shooting himself in the foot or in the face, whichever you prefer?
Not really, because, I mean, it's a first-person shooter that's going to be on PC, Xbox, you know, it's and PlayStation, of course. If you're getting a first-person shooter like that, an action one, where the one before, years ago, had multiplayer, you might as well have it in this one, too. But I understand exactly what he's saying. It's too bad, in a way, Gunsage wasn't here. He was really upset. Wasn't he really upset about multiplayer coming into games that did not need them?
Assassin's
Creed, wasn't it? He almost lost it when the latest Assassin's Creed, or one of the Assassin's Creeds, had some sort of multiplayer, and I remember him.
Brotherhood has it.
Yeah, I remember him just like flipping out over it, saying it's not necessary. So he would definitely agree with these comments.
Is it? I know I ask this all the goddamn time, but answer it anyways. Is it lip service, Patrick? Is it lip service from him?
It could be, because he's in a position where he's making a game that will have multiplayer. I'd like to see them make a game that's single player focused and see if he, you know, does not put multiplayer in it. So it's easy for him to say that when he has a game that potentially could sell a lot of copies because of the multiplayer. So it's interesting that he says this, really, you know.
What did, I never played it because I bought it so late. Did Borderlands have multiplayer? Or was it just co-op?
It was co-op, I think. I don't think it was any. Yeah, the whole game.
It wasn't even, like, fighting.
Yeah.
Running each other.
Well, yeah, the only thing I heard about it was that Patrick and Gunsage played Bumper Cars for 3 hours or something like that. So.
Yeah, a highly intoxicated Gunsage and I.
Yeah, I play with a bunch of weirdos anyway, so I mean it's not surprising they're playing Bumper Cars.
There is did you play it, Glacinator, a lot or Glacinator?
Oh no, I didn't play it, really. My brother had
it. There was some sort of arena where you could go to.
Oh yeah, that was.
But it was lame and it was there. I mean I went there with Gunsage for one purpose only, to get the achievement for playing a arena game, and that was it. So that was all, actually, now we're thinking about it, that was probably thrown in just so they could put that check mark on the box that they're talking about, saying that there's online multiplayer.
Well, now, wait a minute. Was this multiplayer? Were the other people there, or was it just co-op?
Oh, well, how did that work? Well, it wasn't co-op because it was against each other, so we were playing against each other. It wasn't a big, at least the one that we played was just the two of us. But I think maybe, I don't know, it was a small little arena. I don't think it was massive, you know, where you're waiting a lobby to play, but it was definitely competitive multiplayer, but it was with people that you were playing with. I don't know what the maximum number of people were for it. It was just me and Gunsage getting an achievement and then going back to the campaign.
This week on WonderPod, we imitate 60 Minutes and try and find out if Randy Pitchford's a fucking hypocrite. Which is, that's what I like about these kind of shows, because you never know where they're going. So there's a potential here that he may have this come back and bite him in the ass. Basically, either if somebody thinks about Borderlands or if Duke Nukem's multiplayer is tacked on feeling. Nice. Glad I brought up this story. Glacinator, we've kind of left you out. Sorry about that. Go any way you want to go with it. Are you happy somebody in the industry saying it? Do you care? Are you as sick of tacked on multiplayer as the rest of us? Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that someone is saying this. I agree with him completely. Not all games need multiplayer. But the thing is, whether you like it or not, right now, pretty much all games have multiplayer. What I did while you guys were talking was I picked up my whole library of Xbox 360 games, and the only games out of the whole 25 stack of games I have that don't have multiplayer are Mirror's Edge, Darksiders, and Star Wars The Force Unleashed. That is it. Everything else has some sort of multiplayer component to it. So I think that does indicate that people feel like they need multiplayer in a game. If there isn't multiplayer, then people feel like it's lacking. I don't feel that way, but I think that the large majority of the public does feel that way.
You know, that's interesting. I'm not going to ask Patrick to go through his magic garbage bags of winning, because I've heard that on Xbox Live. But, you know, if I look back here at my rack, and it's just a quick look, and I'm quite a ways away, I can only find three. Lost Odyssey.
And the first Bioshock. But Bioshock 2 has multiplayer. So
Yeah. You want to talk about the Webster's Dictionary definition of fucking tacked on, it's that Bioshock 2 multiplayer. let's see. Lost Odyssey, Deadly Premonition, and I can't see, there's a damn cup in my way. And I think that's it. I don't know, did Saboteur have it? If Saboteur didn't have it, then I don't think Saboteur had it. So, yeah, I've only got like three. Patrick, are you about in the same numbers without going through the bank opening?
Yeah. Star Wars Force Unleashed 1 and 2. I got Darksiders. I'm trying to think of another one I have, and I don't think I have another one that doesn't. Yeah, so it's about that.
Yeah, see, I'd have five. It's not a Patrick approved scientific survey, because I traded in Darksiders in the original Star Wars The Force Unleashed. So a couple weeks ago, I had about five. But yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, it's nice to hear industry guys say this. I just hope more of them follow through with it. I mean, the one that really, I don't know if it was Gunsage was ranting over the Brotherhood one, or the fact that it was in, what was that zombie game he was playing for months and months on end? The second
Dead
one.
Dead Rising.
Thank you. I want to say maybe it was Dead Rising that he went on and on and ranted about the multiplayer being ass and tacked on. Or maybe both. You've played the multiplayer Brotherhood, haven't you, Glacinator? Was it tacked on? I mean, I kind of thought it at first, but...
It was... I mean, I played it. It was fun. It was interesting. But it didn't really fit in with the game. And the servers sucked. It took half an hour to find a game. Could have been more polished.
But so it was kind of tacked on.
It was kind of tacked on, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't BioShock 2 bad.
Oh, God. I bought BioShock 2 so late that I never got a chance to play it. But I did actually go into, like, where you set up your character and everything, and just from looking at that, listening to other people. Yeah, I was a little surprised, because Ubisoft, that it sounded like that Assassin's Creed Brotherhood multiplayer was decent.
Yeah,
which I
decent.
Totally expected it to be just a flaming pile of shit, them trying to, like, Pitchford was saying, you know, trying to raise the sales ceiling. So.
Yeah.
There you go. I think Patrick had it right 20 minutes ago. We're stuck with this shit. Okay. In our last story, comes to us from computerandvideogames.com. Full disclosure, and I told these guys in the notes, when I read the headline to the story, I went, oh, Jack Trenton, you're such a jackass. And then I read the story. The headline is Sony, price doesn't make or kill a platform. Now, the reason I went, oh, my God, you're such a bunch of jackasses, is because all of their launches have been super expensive above the competition most of the time. Now, granted, their hardware is usually worth that price. And he goes on here about, you know, he compares... Oh, a $60 game experience to watching a 2-hour movie and this and that. This is Sony Entertainment, or Sony Gaming, President Jack Trenton. You know, and he goes on and on and on, and then they throw the little plug for how much the, next PlayStation Portable price is going to be, this and that. But you know what? At first I was like, oh yeah, price doesn't matter. And then I got thinking about it. I went, you know, price really probably doesn't matter, because you have two gentlemen sitting right here with me. Well, not right here with me, but you have two gentlemen with me tonight who knew full well that there's no games out for the 3DS, but one bought it on launch day and one bought it a week later. I bought my Xbox 360 based solely on the fact that I knew a bunch of guys from the forums I was at the time, where Patrick was, had that console. That was who the majority that had it. And the more I got to thinking about it after I read this story, the more I realized that if all these guys that had PlayStation 3s, I probably would have saved up, popped the extra cash for a PlayStation 3, because that's what my buddies play. So, Patrick, my point is in reality, even if it is Sony attempting to cover for the fact that their handheld's going to be expensive, they're kind of right. It doesn't a lot of times come down to price for a lot of us, doesn't it?
Oh, there you go. Microphone on. Got it. Hey, it's the first time I've done it so far. That's pretty good.
It's one of those shows.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Definitely, I agree that it, you know, his main, the headline of this story is it doesn't kill, make a platform or kill a platform. He's right. PlayStation 3 is starting to make money. It's got lots of games for it, even though it was ridiculously expensive. So I agree with that ultimate statement. But it also didn't help that it was that expensive. I mean, the PlayStation 2 was the number one video game machine. PlayStation 3 comes out on that roll, and now it's, what, number 3 in the sales charts. So this is a tough one. I know, like you said, they're pretty much setting it up so that they can justify a very expensive, whenever it comes out, PlayStation Portable 2 or whatever the hell they're calling it. I agree with the main point. Because people will buy stuff, people will wait, will save up money. In a way, he's right, but I can't help but think in the back of my mind, this is just setting up another really expensive launch for the PlayStation Portable 2.
Glacinator, your thoughts, good sir.
Well, when I buy a game system, what my decision to buy it or not is whether or not I think I'm going to get a good value out of the money I put down for that game system. And I went and I bought a 3DS on launch day. I mean, I could have waited a week. I could have waited 2 weeks. I could have waited a month. But I went and bought on launch day because I knew that, because I trusted Nintendo to give me a good enough experience that would cost $250. So while there may not be any games out for it right now, I do feel that later on that my purchase will be justified. I do see what this guy is saying, but I don't know. If the PSP 2 is a lot of money, I've never been on PlayStation side really, so
it's
hard to say. Because I don't want to sound like a hypocrite.
Well, you know, you got three elements really working here. You got what I'm talking about with all my friends had 360s, and it was the cheaper option at the time, at the initial purchase price. You have your thing of when you go to buy a new gaming system, you look at how much overall value is it going to give me, you know, when you look at the purchase price. But then you also have people tend to gravitate towards one or the other. You've always tended to be kind of a Nintendo fan. You're not really a Sony fan. So that makes it slightly easier if the price is outrageous. Does that make sense? Am I kind of...
I agree with you.
So that's kind of what you were, you know, I understand not wanting to be a hypocrite because yeah, you ran right out and bought the 3DS, but that kind of makes sense. You know, because it's like, first off, you've had really good luck with Nintendo hardware, and second off, you know that the games are coming for it.
Yes. And then Sony fanboys can say the same thing about the PSP 2,
Right. Even so, if you think the price is nuts.
Yeah. It's hard to say.
But you're willing to accept that the part of what makes you say it nuts is because you've never really been a big fan of Sony's, which is fair enough. I mean, that's, as long as you say that, there's no problem with, you know, with that sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're all pretty much tap dancing in a minefield because you could get called a fanboy or you're trashing it because you don't like them. Yeah. I mean, it is a little bit thin ice. As for me, because I don't have the console history that these two guys do, I think he's correct for all the reasons we've mentioned to a point, but there is a ceiling for that. The PlayStation 3, in my mind, just looking at it in a business sense, came really close. In its first 2 years, it basically got a CEO forced into retirement. It was losing Sony money because they were losing money on every console sold because of how much the hardware cost them. And really, they didn't have the game catalog come along fast enough, you know, like these guys are talking about, well, the 3DS is going to have this and this by June, and I'm looking forward to this, and I'm still having fun with this. But the PS3 didn't really have that. So while he's correct to a certain extent, there are other things you consider when you're purchasing a platform besides price. If it doesn't have enough elements to make the price worth it, you can be in trouble. They kind of got that way with the PS3. So my hope is that they learned from the mistakes with the PS3 and they won't do that with the PSP2. My suspicion still is it's probably going to be around $300-$350. If you're a PSP fan, then that's probably not going to be that big a deal. Although you can pick up what's 125 or 250 gig 360 running right now, Patrick? About the same, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty close.
With Kinect.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's kind of where I fall off the wagon. It's like, you want me to pay that much for a handheld? You know, so I don't know. He's got a point. There's definitely more there than just looking at the headline and going, oh, it's Sony. Yeah, like they know anything about price, and you know, but you look a little deeper and he does have some valid points. But Patrick's back of his mind is probably correct. They're just trying to soften the impact of when they actually name the NGP's price, which I think is probably going to happen at E3. Hey, and that's been news. Okay, Patrick, why don't you give him the spiel? Cause we are like the best on the entire internet at being whores. We've already mentioned the website twice at least during the show. So we are the best prostitutes on the internet.
More
take
than
it away.
Twice. You mean WonderPodOnline.com, that website?
That'd be the, yeah, WonderPodOnline.com.
WonderPodOnline.com?
Wow. Okay, anyways.
Oh, God. It reminds me now of that couponbug.com, or what was that one, those griefing videos had some like, couponbug.com, couponbug.com. Okay, just do it.
Speaking of WonderPodOnline.com, check out the website. Last week we had huge emphasis on wrestling because of WrestleMania week. I tried to throw in a couple of game things in between there. It was great. Check it out this week, too. Lots of great content on there from everybody. We like all of our staff. WonderPod Online also has a Facebook page. I don't know how many, 320-something friends. We'd love more friends. You can ask us questions. We haven't had too many questions as of late on our Facebook page. But sure, check us out on Facebook. WonderPod Online is our Facebook page. We, the podcast itself, WonderPod Video Game Podcast, which started it all, really, over a year ago or year and a half ago, whenever the hell that was, we're available on iTunes and Apple TV. Please subscribe, rate us. It's the only way other people are going to find us, unfortunately, the way iTunes works. We're also on archive.org if you don't like Apple and you want the MP3 files. And, of course, on the website, you can get our latest episodes on there. We're on YouTube. Where else are we? There's the main ones that I could think of. Of course, we love our hate mail. It makes us feel special. We have an email address. Bruce, what is that email address?
Since you didn't see my little text message, before we give you the email address, Gunsage, who you may or may not know from this show, and Sugar Ray Dodge, the guy that does Scruffy. Scruffy might be involved in this too. It's probably why we're not getting angry questions from you anymore. The two of them have sat down and started a retro podcast called RetroPod. I know we're like the most unoriginal people on the face of the earth. Who cares? It's a good show. It's about an hour long. We're not 100% sure at this point how often they're going to do it. Maybe monthly, maybe every other week, maybe never. I don't know. But their first episode is out. You can either go to archive.org, search RetroPod, or go to our website. We have a search there, too, that I think searches our database. Type in RetroPod. Give those guys some love. Give them a listen. Make them feel better about themselves or good about themselves or something like that. With that out of the way, the email address to contact us here at WonderPod, the other podcast, is wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. Until episode 59, or we record 58 for the third time, I am Juan Valdez. Well, wait. Screw it. Maybe I'm Miguel Cabrera after a case of beer. Anyways, either way, I'm out of here. See ya.
Goodbye.
Glacinator? Bueller? Bueller?
See you later.
All right.